I just flew back from New York.
And I just spent 2.5 months dealing with internet issues.
Let's get those cogs turning. So how's that internet, Derp? Tell me
working.
Things. All right, well, that's good. Tell me about things. Tell me things.
So after we were talking about how my internet wasn't working and all that fun stuff, well, 2 weeks ago, as I was discussing the internet sucked, well, they were working on it for the past 2 weeks straight, rebuilding the entire infrastructure after the almighty R of the Swamp turned in an FCC complaint, and they were like, oh, yeah, we got to get this fixed, blah, 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 and they replaced everything. They replaced a bunch of little boxes that had corrosion in them. They found a box that was in a ditch, basically, that was run in a ditch.
What?
Like, it was put in a ditch. Like, that's where it was built.
Oh.
But it's a ditch that floods regularly, so it was corroded inside. It had water running on it constantly.
Oh, my God.
All that fun stuff. So they had to relocate that. They put new stuff in that. They redid everything, and it works now. The only problem left is a issue with the power company, because it's not something they can deal with, and it's probably not going to be fixed, but it's not causing any more issue, really. But there's a box near the cable lines that is not grounded by the power company, and it's creating a small EMP bubble, more or less, because it's surging on a constant basis, and it is causing just line noise. But it's not bad, but it's not hindering anything, really.
That still sounds terrible.
Yeah, but basically they had to replace our entire infrastructure for the entire area within, like, 3 to 4 miles, maybe 5 miles. It was, yeah.
Wow.
all because we needed upload speed and no one else did and would not complain enough.
You know, that's not something I hear very often, that somebody made a complaint to the FCC and then they came out and actually fixed something, more or
yeah.
less.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
After that, it would have been the Better Business Bureau, so, you know, they don't want to have to deal with that.
I guess you start with one chain of command and work your way up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it's been fun. But on that note, that means I get to come back to streaming officially with no issues, hopefully.
Yay!
But at this point, it's looking like no issues and I can actually stream, so... my schedule is posted. I will be doing Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay.
1 week, and then it will alternate back because there's D&D going on every other week, and then we have our CogCast we're recording for every other week, so it works out with the way it works. So, 1 week will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the other weeks will be Monday, Tuesday, but Friday and Saturday will always stay the same. And Saturdays I'll be doing Community Days.
Community Days, what is that?
Well, what do you think? It's everyone gets together and plays games with us. Sorry, Sax. If you want to join in, you're free to join in. And, but yeah, I'll be inviting the community to play. And I encourage you to come and play, too.
You heard it here, folks. Derp's bringing back community streams. Let's do this.
Yes.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome.
Let's do this.
It sounds like things are working out, as crazy as it has been. The internet's back, which seems to be doing decently, and you're coming back to stream, which is amazing and exciting, and we miss your face. And
maybe a certain pussy.
Oh, we might be getting the samurai cat back?
No.
No?
You'll get a cat for now.
Really?
But unfortunately, the new program, or let's say, well, yeah, the new program... We'll go off of that. That I have to use has the cat, but they've taken away the samurai hat.
Why?
I don't know, but they did.
That's stupid.
And he's now a wizard cat.
Okay, I was gonna say samurai cat going away is stupid, but wizard cat is okay.
He's a super wizard.
It sounds better. I'll accept
yes.
it. I'll need to see it, but I like what I'm hearing. It's better.
Well, by the time this airs, but it'll be tomorrow, Tuesday, but you guys will have already seen it more than likely, so Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have something looking. I hope you enjoyed it. To. Yeah, I hope it works out. That's amazing. What are you playing tomorrow when you do stream?
I would be going back to Scarlet Nexus, but there is a possibility I may be playing Darkest Dungeon 2. Maybe. We will see. I need to see if I can pick it up.
What is Darkest Dungeon 2?
Well, if anyone's played Darkest Dungeon, it's a very difficult RPG game that's side-scrolling, and you basically go through dungeons that have very unforgiving combat, and it's a very popular game, but if you haven't played it, look it up.
Well, then I'm gonna have to look it up because I have not played it, and I really asked the question for myself. I was hoping you could explain it to me as well as everybody else who's listening.
It's a turn-based combat with very unforgiving enemies.
Okay.
It is very hard, but it is very fun, and Steam allows you to mod the hell out of it.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't recommend it on Switch, though, only for the reason that the writing is insanely small, and it's kind of difficult to read sometimes. But what about you? You went somewhere last week. Where did you go?
You're right. I did go somewhere last week. I traveled to New York.
New York.
Yep, I stayed in New Jersey, right over near the Lincoln Tunnel that goes straight to Manhattan. I went with two friends. We stayed there for 5 days, and we saw. The main reason why we wanted to go was we were going to see the New York Giants play the LA Rams. And I've never been to a professional football game before, and I've always wanted to go. So we got to see the Giants versus the Rams. And for my football experience, for my first time, it was absolutely amazing. I got a center field. I was at a decent seats. I wasn't in the nosebleeds. I was kind of halfway. I could see everything.
You were in the half nosebleed.
Yeah. But it was great, though. It looked like it was a sold-out crowd. The food was good. The beer was good. I had a Philly cheesesteak.
A true Philly cheesesteak.
Yes, I was on the East Coast. It was also a slaughter, though. The Giants lost. The final score was 38-11. It was.
Good God.
Yeah, actually, we left it by the time the fourth quarter started, and they were holding on to 3 points, the Giants, for most of the game. All they could do was a field goal. It was a slaughter.
Oh, damn poor Giants.
Yeah, but it was a blast. I had a lot of fun, but we also saw the sights. We went to the city a couple of times.
And I do believe that you achieved a childhood dream.
I did, sir. I have achieved a childhood dream.
And?
I got to visit the Hook and Ladder No. 8 Firehouse in New York City, which is basically the firehouse that they use to film in the movie Ghostbusters. I got to see the Ghostbuster Firehouse in person.
And it still has the sign above it, doesn't it?
It does. So they brought out the Ghostbuster sign for New York City Comic Con, and that was a week before I was to fly out to New York. And they still had it hanging outside when I went to go visit it. It was so cool. I turned into a little kid. I got a ton of photos. And it was it was the coolest thing ever. It just made the movies just seem so much more just real. What's cool about the firehouse is it's still an active firehouse, which is really cool. But I did other things too, like, I ate a lot of food. I ate and drank everything in sight. The amount of pizza that's on the East Coast is comparable to the amount of burrito places we have here in California. It's everywhere.
That tracks.
Yeah. Pretty
that
much.
Makes sense.
it was really good, though. Derp, you would love this. I went to the Nintendo store.
I did see a picture of that.
Yes.
Didn't you have a picture you stood in front of Link?
Yeah, I was standing right next to Link. They have a full statue size of Link with a shield and a sword, and I kind of leaned in and got a picture. It's a two-story store. I've never seen so many physical Switch games in my life. It was amazing. And because Metroid Dread had just come out, the entire bottom floor was all decked out in Metroid stuff. Do you know the Emmy robots in Metroid Dread, the things that hunt you in the new game?
Yes, I do remember what they are, and they're kind of fucked up.
Oh, yeah, they're crazy. But they had a giant cutout of one of the Emmy robots in the corner of the first floor, and its lights were glowing. And throughout the store, the Emmys make this chirping noise in the game. And in the store, it was echoing and chirping in the store. And it was kind of creepy, but it was also kind of cool at the same time. But, the display case had two original Nintendo powers that had Metroid and Super Metroid on the cover. And mm-hmm. It had every single cartridge of every Metroid game from original Nintendo, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Super Nintendo. And then they also had the special edition of Metroid Dread on display with the cards and the art book and the steel case. And it was so fun. It was so cool to see an official Nintendo store. I turned into a little kid when I went into that store. It was great.
So I have to ask a question.
Yeah?
How many pairs of pants did you go through?
At least three. And I brought a fourth one just in case, but by the time I reached the second floor of the building, that's where they had all the merchandise, and I bought a hoodie, a Zelda hoodie, and a couple of shirts, and some gifts.
And just gave up on changing your pants at that point.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I had to deal with what I got. At that point, I was spent, and I'm like, I'm good. But it was fun. The Nintendo store was really cool. Guess what the first thing I ate when I landed in New Jersey?
What was it?
Oh, dude, I don't know about you, but I'm fucking hungry as balls.
Yeah, no shit, dude. Let's eat. Hey, no, I don't feel like delivery tonight.
What about KFC? Yeah.
No. We've been there too many times. I want something we haven't had in a while. Something different. Something that'll really hit the spot. I want the perfect food.
Are you hungry? Then come to White Castle and try our slider special. Six burgers, fries, and a soft drink for only $2.99. Imagine all those burgers in your stomach right now. Mm-hmm. Don't you like food that's tasty and delicious?
I do.
Then what are you waiting for? Head over to White Castle. It's what you crave.
Oh, White Castle, I remember you showing pictures of that, and you had like a 36 slider thing or some crap like that.
Yeah, we bought a 36 pack of sliders, and apparently I could only eat like maybe six of them, but I was splitting it between two other guys. We still had a few left, but apparently it's White Castle's 100th birthday. They were established in 1921. Can you believe that?
Nice.
So we got this box that said happy 100th birthday, and it had all these like 30 cardboard slots full of sliders, and it was delicious.
You mentioned Harold and Kumar, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember seeing a picture of that.
Yeah, I had a feeling if I said Harold and Kumar, you would have been like, oh my god.
Yeah, I've seen White Castle in Ohio when I went there for a few months.
Nice.
Back in 2008.
Oh, side note, when I was at the Nintendo store, they had something on display that I've seen in magazines my whole life, but I've never saw in person until I went to the store. They had the Game Boy, the original Game Boy that was damaged in the Gulf War between 1990 and 1991.
That still works.
That still works. It's there. I took pictures of it. It's got Tetris running on it in its display case, and it's charred to hell, but it's amazing how durable that sucker is and how it's still running. I'm like, dude, I remember seeing this in Nintendo Power when I was a kid. And here I am as an adult going into the store going, it's real.
Epic.
It was
epic.
It was really sweet. Other than the Ghostbuster Firehouse, I also saw the building they used for the Continental Hotel in John Wick, which I thought was cool.
That's pretty awesome. You know what's funny is I had never seen the John Wick movies until I moved here to Louisiana.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't watch them. I don't know why. Just never was my. I never thought it would be my thing. I didn't feel like watching it, and then R forced me to binge watched them with him one day, and we watched all three of them.
Yeah.
And they were fucking epic.
I'm glad he made you watch those. They are pretty epic. I can't wait for the next one.
I was like, okay, I'll sit down and watch them because, you know, fucking Keanu Reeves. You can't deny Keanu.
Exactly.
At this point.
He's a treasure.
He's like Nicolas Cage, only better.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's a treasure. Yeah. A national treasure.
And he's breathtaking.
You're breathtaking. You're all breathtaking.
Not only did I see the Continental, but when me and my friends were walking towards the south tip of Manhattan to go kind of look at the bay and overlook the Statue of Liberty,
mm-hmm.
on our way down, we come to a crosswalk, and I look to my left, and lo and behold, I see a building, and I gasped just as much as I did when I saw the Ghostbuster firehouse, and I went, oh my God. And my friends are like, what, you okay? I'm like, dude.
Was it the Vigo building?
Yeah, it was the Manhattan Museum of Art.
Okay, that's funny. I totally guessed on that one.
It totally was. So I'm like, guys, I got to go and get a picture. So we walked over there. I got a few pictures of the building. The manhole cover that's sitting like right in front of the museum is there. I'm like, guys, that's where Winston, Ray, and Egon, like, were all slimed, and they crawled out of that manhole.
Oh, dear, Ray, what are we doing? I was ready to kill you.
It's the stuff. It's like pure concentrated evil.
And it's all flowing right to this spot.
I started geeking out. It was great. It was kind of cool. Because I wasn't looking for it. It just happened to be there. And I'm like, oh my God, I recognize that building.
So on that note, are you excited for the new movie?
I am very excited for the new movie. It comes out next month. November 19th, I believe. I will be there. And I've been waiting a long time for a sequel to the original two movies. And this is...
how many times has it been pushed back now?
Well, it was supposed to come out July of last year, but COVID.
Outstanding.
Yeah, but hey, it's coming out, and I can't wait, and I hear nothing but good things, and I'm just hoping for the best. And you know me, I'm optimistic, glass half full. I love Ghostbusters. It's my favorite movie of all time, so I'm going to go in there and just try to have fun, like I always do.
Do that. Do that.
Hell yeah.
But overall, your time on the East Coast was wondrous?
It was. It was. So yeah, New York was great. And other than that, I'm back. I started streaming, and I did receive Metroid Dread, the special edition, from our dear friend Fen.
Yeah, you went, you saw a Nintendo store with all the Metroid Dread stuff, came home, and got a wonderful thing from Fen.
Yeah, it was waiting for me by the time I got home. It was great. And even when I was at the Nintendo store, I'm like, y'all got any of them special editions in the back? And he goes, no. And I'm like, all right, that's okay. But I did get to play a demo of Metroid Dread on their giant TV screen. It was really cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, but the game itself is amazing. I'm very, very happy with Metroid Dread. I spent 6 hours streaming yesterday, and I haven't done that in ages. The game's amazing.
Yeah, it's cool. I like the look of the game and the general running of it. But I will probably never play it myself because I'm just never been a Metroid person. I played Prime.
Yeah, you did. You did play Prime. I remember.
And it was good. I started Prime 2, but I never really got into it.
That's okay. That's all good. I mean, you saw me when I was streaming on Sunday, how much I was geeking out over that game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you damn right I'm geeking out. I am for sure geeking out. I don't even care that I tried this for an hour yesterday. I'm replaying it, and then it's still all new and shiny and fancy, and then I'm gonna get farther than I went to, and plus I'm geeking out in front of all of you guys, and we're all enjoying the moment. This is why I love Twitch.
It was pretty, it was cool. I liked it, but I'll leave the Metroid to you.
Okay, well...
You're the Metroid man.
You'll have to catch my stream so you can see how it ends, at least.
Hey, sir, you know I'm there.
Oh, I know you. You know I'm there. Dude, I know. You my bro. I know you there.
Yeah. you my first wife. You know I'm there to support you.
Well, to quote Dr. Evil...
Yes, that's true.
Yes, that's true.
Well, what about you, sir? Last time I checked, Resident Evil 4 just came out for the Oculus.
Yes, Resident Evil 4 in VR. So
Tell me things.
When you first played Resident Evil 4 on the GameCube, how excited you were because it was Resident Evil and it was different.
And it was brand new.
And the first time it was Leon, you were like, ooh, I got to play as Leon and he's a badass now, trained by the government, blah, blah, blah. And you get to go in, and it's the new gaming style for Resident Evil, and it's just fresh. It feels awesome, and you get all those good feels of going through it, and...
Yeah, all those memories that you're describing, actually very correct memories, yes.
And then you get through it, and then you go back through and play again, and it's great, but it's not that first-time playthrough.
You already know what to expect, in a sense. You're like, oh, yeah, I gotta go here, I gotta go here. No worries. So, yeah, I got you.
But when you go into this VR and the way they've done it, yeah, the cutscenes are in a third-person window, but you still have your hands that you can look at while you're in the third-person thing, and then it cuts into a first-person view, like, instantly after the cutscene ends. And it doesn't throw you out as much, because I originally thought that was going to be jarring and kind of destroy the immersion, and while maybe a little, it's not that bad. It's actually pretty good, and it's just like a quick cinematic view on a screen, or like a stylized, like, blood edge screen of viewing the cutscenes, and then it cuts in the first person for everything else. But the difference is you can move while you're firing your gun.
Ooh.
So you can move and shoot, and you can slash. The only difference with slashing is it slows you down a little bit when you slash, but you can run and gun.
Wow.
Like, you can move the joysticks and you can shoot. You can John Wick your way through the game.
I was about to say that. Legitimately. I was about to say, what you're describing sounds like John Wick.
You can turn your gun sideways. You can shoot someone in the side of the head when you're next to him. You can run around. You can quick load guns. Like, I've gotten to the point where you can pull the clip out and you just put it right in, cock the gun back again, and you're loaded firing again. It gives me the same feeling of playing it for the first time all over again.
Really?
I haven't gotten to Ashley yet. So those of you wondering, no, I have not been able to look under her skirt to see how she reacts.
Leon!
But big Russian dude is scary face to face.
Really?
Or big Spanish dude, whichever he is. He's the big dude with the beard.
Oh, you're talking about the guy with the green trench coat and the beard that goes down to, like, his belly? Yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's a new way to experience the game, and it's so well done. It is so well done. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, it's something that if you can get a quest to experience it, do it. It is such a good experience so far, and it's just, yeah.
You've got full immersion. You feel like you're in the game. You can see the details on the furniture, the environment, the trees.
Well, they even took the HD and they upped the scaling on the models for the game itself too.
Oh wow!
So the models are actually even better than they were for the HD version.
Okay.
So the game is insanely sharp. It's very clear. It runs smooth, and people have even there was someone that side hacked it into a Quest 1, so they sideloaded it onto a Quest 1, and it apparently runs perfect on a Quest 1 as well.
Really?
But it's Quest 2 solo.
I see.
You can only buy it on Quest 2, but somebody somehow sideloaded it to Quest 1, hacking it, and then played it, and I guess it ran perfectly.
Okay. Well, that's pretty awesome.
But it runs full, like, 60 frames, as far as I can tell, and it's beautiful. And it's so cool to just walk into that world and see it all around you.
Is this something that I remember you mentioning something about not being able to see chat or anything. Were you trying to see about streaming that at some point?
I would love to, but the problem with it is I can't put the window on my computer. The only way I can do it is, I'm trying to think of how it is, I can't run it on my computer, so therefore I can't load one of the software things onto the headset that lets me read Twitch chat.
Okay, that makes sense. So,
yeah, if I'm running it on PC, then I'm running it through virtual desktop, and I can load a program that lets me, like, bring up my hand so I can read Twitch chat inside of the game.
I see. Okay.
So, if anything, I'm going to start it fresh, and I will bring it to YouTube for you guys. But as far as it, I can't stream it. Unless I streamed it, I wouldn't be able to read chat.
Okay, it's all good. I wasn't sure. That's why I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, it would need to be recorded or just not read chat and play it live.
Okay.
But aside from that, like, it's game of the year next to the survival game I'm playing, which I need to get back into as well.
Game of the year. Oof, that's big.
Well, game of the year for VR. Sorry.
Okay.
Game of the year for VR.
I was not like, damn, dude, that's impressive.
I was just hoping I wasn't overhyping it for myself, but it meets expectations.
That's always a plus. That's always a plus.
The only problem that is disappointing, which you probably wouldn't notice too much unless you saw the video on it, but they cut out a lot of voice lines from the game.
I did read that there was some changes and updates to the dialogue.
And I understand it's the ones that were more hitting on women type thing.
I see.
They removed those lines where Leon hits on Hunnigan about not wearing glasses. They removed the line from sexy Spanish dude, the cop.
Oh, yeah.
French cop, whatever he was. They removed the line of him hitting on Ashley.
Okay.
Things like that. They removed like 4 or 5 lines that were hitting on chicks and that.
Okay. I mean, I get it. I totally get it. I mean, it doesn't take away from the core gameplay and the core story.
No,
so.
No, not at all. Realistically, unless you played Resident Evil 4 like 500 times and you know every line of the dialogue that should be there, you're not going to notice it unless you see the video and know it's coming and know it's already missing.
They're updating the game for a modern age. I totally get that. But as long as the game's still Resident Evil, that's all that matters to me.
Yes.
And it sounds like it is. It sounds like it is. And I'm glad you're having fun with that.
Next time I see you, you're playing that.
For sure. Are you kidding me?
I'm not even letting you say, no, we can do that tomorrow. I'm like, no. Sit your ass down. You're playing it now.
Yeah, that sounds like your Dramamine,
fool.
Well, I will take that first because VR makes me dizzy. But that's my problem with VR is the second I put on the glasses, I start to get dizzy. But I'm like, oh no, I want to stay in this world, but I can't. I'm dizzy. Ah.
So after all of that intro stuff, we move on to the topic of the day.
Well, Derp, you came up with these topics, so why don't you tell us what the first one is?
What used to be your favorite video game genre, and has that changed? So for you, sir, since I just spent like some time talking about Resident Evil VR and all of its glory because it's fucking awesome.
Well, I will admit it is fun listening to you geek out about video games as well.
Yes.
Well, okay, so I thought about this a lot because you know me, I collect a lot of games. I've been playing a lot of games my whole life. I played quite a bit of them with you growing up, and you got me hooked on some genres. This was a little challenging. The first thing I thought of was, well, I find myself playing less and less 2D to 3D platformers these days than I did when I was a kid. You know, the type of games that make you collect all the shinies, the stars, the puzzle pieces. So those 3D platforms, I'm finding myself playing those less. And then the 2D platformers, like if the goal is to get from one end of the screen to the other, like original Mario Brothers, I mean, I find myself playing those less too. I don't know, I feel like by the time the Nintendo DS came out and games like New Super Mario Brothers came out, which was fun.
Mm-hmm.
New Super Mario Brothers was really fun, and they added some fun new mechanics, but essentially it's the same game. Rescue the princess, fight Koopa kids, make it from one end to the other, collect all the stuff, all the coins and stuff, and it was a good mixture and a good blend between the stuff that they created in Mario 64 and the original Mario games. And as much as it was fun, it never wowed me, and I wonder if that's because I got older and I got into other games, but I still play them and I still enjoy them. But I think that was the key word I'm thinking of, is I got older and my taste changed, and
like happens with everyone. tastes change as you get older.
Yeah, and then I got the Super Mario 3D All-Stars Collection, so it's like, I'll jump into that and I'll collect a few stars here and there, but because I played the game as a kid, and I was like, oh my god, and I got every single star and beat all the Bowser stages, and it's just like, yes! But as an adult, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember playing these levels, but I don't feel the same need to, I have to beat this. It's just more of like, hey, I want to kill some time and collect a few things. So I find myself, it's just different these days. But then I thought of one genre in particular after I thought of all that, going, oh, I've got one. What used to be your favorite video game genre and what has changed? First-person shooters.
Mm-hmm.
If you can remember, I used to play Call of Duty and Battlefield all the time with my brother Alex.
With me and me.
Yes, and you. You used to be a no-scoper.
Yep, with your brother.
Yes.
We would 1v1 each other all the time.
Yes, yes. And,
and I actually got to a point where I was somewhat matching him in the 1v1s.
Yeah, no, you were great. And my brother was just a beast. And I wasn't
your
as good.
Was
I was
a,
I was
beyond a beast.
He spent a lot of time playing games. And
he no-wifed it.
He did. He'd watch videos. He'd memorize it. He'd study and he'd practice and he'd practice. And he got really good at no-scoping. It was amazing. But other than me getting older and my taste changing, I don't think it's so much that the genre hasn't changed too much. So Call of Duty Modern Warfare came out great. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 came out, oh my god, even better. But then it just kind of became stale, and Activision had three companies working on Call of Duties, and then it turned into blood.
I'll retract that statement. Yeah, Modern Warfare 2, it felt like it was going downhill after that, but I'm going to say it was actually after Black Ops. Black Ops was actually amazing.
No, I was agree with you, because as soon as Activision had three different companies making Call of Duty games, I believe it was Treyarch. They did Black Ops. The first Black Ops is probably one of my favorite Call of Duties. And
wait, did Treyarch do Black Ops, or was that? I thought they did Modern Warfare.
Infinity Ward did Modern Warfare.
Oh, okay, never mind.
And then eventually they brought in Sledgehammer Games for the other Call of Duties, but But yeah, so Black Ops 1 came out, and I was actually blown away by it. They introduced the zombies. The campaign was great because it was a play on the 1960s Cold War, and I absolutely loved that. And the multiplayer was fun, and they incorporated something new. They had a built-in video editor where you can clip your own...
I remember that.
You can clip your own kills, and then you could upload it to YouTube from the video game. And it was awesome. But when the tide started to change for me is when... I feel like when Destiny came out, mm-hmm. I feel like Call of Duty wanted to like transport itself into the future. They started having futuristic gear. It wasn't like modern
advanced warfare.
Advanced warfare. It wasn't modern anymore. It wasn't historical anymore. It felt like Call of Duty's answer to Halo and Destiny.
I mean, technically Battlefield did it too. Battlefield 2042.
You're right. But before Battlefield 2042, there was, you know, Battlefield The Battlefield games took place during World War II, also, just like Call of Duty did back in the day. But at least with Battlefield 3 and Battlefield 4, they still had that modern setting. As soon as Call of Duty went into the future, quote-unquote, I swapped over to Battlefield because, you know, I wanted to stick in with stuff that seemed more realistic, and I absolutely loved Battlefield 3 and 4.
I actually like Battlefield a lot more than COD now.
Same.
I like the bigger Battlefields and the... I don't know. It actually feels more realistic with the way the bullets shoot. There's actual bullet drop, and it feels more satisfying to actually get the kill.
It does. And I enjoyed those games immensely. But then even Battlefield started to change. They went back in time with Battlefield 1 and took place during World War 1, which I thought was unique because nobody tackled World War 1 before. And I thought that was cool, but it didn't grab me as much as I wanted it to. And then they did Battlefield 5, and I kind of skipped it because they went back to World War 2. And then even Call of Duty went back to World War II with Call of Duty World War II. And I checked it out, and it was like, all right, I just felt the game started to become stale, and I felt like it was the same game, and then the settings weren't grabbing me like they used to, and I feel like I wasn't changing. I feel like I was changing with the games I was playing, but the games themselves weren't changing.
You know what Call of Duty game no one talks about anymore?
What's that?
Ghosts.
You know, I had a feeling you were going to say that. I got Ghosts. And I can't describe to you.
I did too at one point.
I can't describe to you what it's like because I think I played
it
for.
Remember.
I think I played it for a week, and I'm like, this is stupid.
I didn't even play it for a week. I think I played the first mission or two, tried online, and then I just didn't play it.
Yeah, and they come out with like new Call of Duty games. They got the new They got Vanguard coming out. They've got...
Which I haven't even looked at that. I don't even know what Vanguard looks like.
What's the Cold War one? It was a Call of Duty Cold War? Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Yeah, it was a Black Ops.
Okay, so,
yeah.
So, but that actually got me excited because Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War took place in the 80s and they showed Ronald Reagan as president. And I'm like, okay, this reminds me of Black Ops 1. And I'm actually kind of interested in it. And then they had the Modern Warfare remake, which I was kind of interested in because I loved Modern Warfare 1 and 2. 3 was okay, but 1 and 2 were amazing.
Yeah, 2 was my favorite. I loved sniping fools across the map with a Spaz 12 shotgun.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, absolutely. So I feel like Call of Duty's trying to get back to some of its roots with Black Ops Cold War and the Modern Warfare remake, but part of me is just like, do I want to go back into that? And I was like, not really. I spent enough time on that one, and like I was saying, my tastes have changed as I got older. So, yeah, I mean, first-person shooters are great, and if you enjoy them, great. If you love Call of Duty, great.
Oh, I love the hell out of first-person shooters. I suck at them.
Oh, absolutely. I'm horrible at them. I have nothing to brag about when it comes to my skill at first-person shooters, but I've always enjoyed playing them, just like you.
Yes.
Well, Dirt, what used to be your favorite video game genre?
Up until recently, it has always been the same thing, and that is JRPGs. RPGs in general, JRPGs mainly, because I'm just an anime-loving weeb like that.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I started my life with the NES and Final Fantasy, Dragon Warrior, probably a few others, but then, like, N64 came out, and I was all about Quest 64 and... any of the other RPGs they had on there, but none of them come to mind. But like when I had my Genesis, when I got my Sega Genesis,
yeah,
Shining Force, Shining Force 2,
yeah,
my favorite Genesis games of all time. But there were so many JRPGs and RPGs in general on the Genesis that like it just, they've always been my world. They've been my gaming world forever. Like, even up until recently, like, I still love my JRPGs. Like, right now I'm playing Scarlet Nexus, which is essentially a JRPG, but it's more free action-based.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, Persona and games like that, like, love those games. Love the turn-based old JRPG style. Recently, I've wanted something with a little more substance, I guess. Even though, you know, JRPGs do have substance, like, a lot of story. I want more action to it than just, you know, turn by turn by turn.
Right.
So, I mean, realistically, in that case, it's the only thing that changes. I just want something else because that's all I've played consistently over the years is RPGs. RPG, 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 RPG.
For as long as I've known you, you've played quite a bit of RPGs. Actually, you exposed me to quite a bit of RPGs, and which has been awesome. But yeah, after a certain point, you got to mix it up, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I'm not a big platformer person. I've never played a lot of platformers except, you know, in recent memory, Axiom Verge. I beat the hell out of Hollow Knight. I have 112% on that or something like that.
Yeah.
True ending is 107%. Aside from that, yeah, it's just my entire life has been JRPGs. While I play other styles of games and I like story in general, and I'll play anything for the most part except sports games usually.
Well, we did eventually kind of open you up to
golf.
2K21.
Yeah,
we got you into golf, yeah. And that's amazing.
And
it's relaxing, yeah. Isn't it? It's just fun.
And I just want everyone to know I beat Blue on my first game.
He did. He did. Legitly, too.
I almost beat Omega.
Now, don't get too cocky. Everybody gets one.
Oh, don't get penis-y. Yeah, but it was fun. And I don't know, maybe we're looking forward to a championship at some point between you, Omega, and me on stream.
Oh, it's on, baby. Oh. It's on. I'm cracking my knuckles right now.
So, yeah, aside from that, while we cross that line, what genres are we into currently that we weren't? Well, I mean, that we possibly were before, but has just become what we mainly like to play now.
Okay, so basically, what's your favorite video game genre today?
Like, what are you playing a lot of right now, genre-wise? What tickles your pickle when you want to play games?
Metroidvania.
Which really doesn't sound all that different for what you usually want to play, though.
That's true, but I really, really wanted to think about, like, what is my favorite video game genre today? And there's two of them. Metroidvania and survival horror. But let me put it this way. At least for the Metroidvania game parts, Metroidvania aspect of it, there are games out there that have expanded beyond the Metroid series or the Castlevania series. You already mentioned a few of them already. Hollow Knight, Axiom Verge. Mm-hmm. There's also Ori of the Blind Forest.
Yeah.
Bloodstained. There's a ton of them. Even, like, one of my favorites that I played a month or two ago. ROM hacks like Hyper Metroid.
Yeah.
It's a reimagining of Super Metroid, but it was made by the Metroid fan community.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely amazing. One of the best Metroid experiences I've ever had. And it's I don't know. There's something about a game that gives you a place to just explore, collect items, and have challenges with trying to figure out where the items are located, or even bosses that are really hard that you're going to have to figure out how to defeat. So there's so much of a mixture between puzzle and adventure and action in these games that... And exploration and atmosphere. That's also important to me, too. That is why I am still in love with Metroidvania-type games. And Metroid Dread, the newest Metroid game out, is still inherently 150% Metroid. But it still feels so fresh and new with what they did with this game. Mm-hmm. They make so much new and blended it with what the old, what works. But it still feels like an amazing Metroid experience. And I'm playing the Castlevania Advance games for the first time on the Castlevania Advance Collection on the Switch. And I'm playing Circle of the Moon, and it's... just being able to, it's new to me, even though it's been out since the Game Boy Advance, but it feels so fresh because it's not something I've ever played before. So there's so much amazing things to be experienced in that type of genre. And I think that's why I'm still in love with it.
Well, that works.
This genre will never get old to me. I think I'll just keep playing it till the day I die.
Same for me with JRPGs, just because JRPGs, and I love anime, and I'm hopeless.
There's nothing wrong with that. You like what you like, man.
Yep, pretty much.
Survival horror, though, it's also your fault. You introduced me to survival horror.
You know what genre, though? Okay, so just on a side note, you know what genre I think you would actually get into a lot?
What's that?
Since you're dabbling in the randomizers and stuff like that, and recently Returnal.
Yeah?
I think you would love roguelites in general.
Roguelites?
Roguelites. Like... where when you die, you lose everything except for certain aspects that make you stronger, that let you progress farther. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, the basis of how Returnal works.
Yes.
That's a roguelite.
Oh, I see what you're talking. So basically games like Returnal and Hades and...
yeah, games like okay. that. I think you would get a strong liking for that genre in general. Like, Rogue Legacy, that's a platformer-based game, but it's a roguelike.
Okay.
Dead Cells,
okay.
That's a really good roguelike.
I actually think Dead Cells is also considered a Metroidvania-type game, too.
It is. It okay. very much is.
I remember seeing that on a list of top Metroidvania games to play.
Yeah, that's the art style's cool. You're just like this parasitic blob that takes over a body of sorts, and then you just progress through, you die, you go back and... get into a new body, and then you progress through again and get buffs as you go through the level.
Okay, that actually sounds really cool. I'll have to look into that. I mean, it's a beautiful thing about video games. There's so much you can play these days.
Yeah, but if you get a chance, just go to Steam and find the tag for roguelike and just look at the top ones, and I guarantee you any of those top ones you'd probably enjoy.
Okay, I will definitely do that. Thank you.
I think as a genre, you would get into roguelike just because you love Returnal.
Oh, yeah. That game has blown my mind. It's addicting and it's fun. Yeah. And it's challenging and it's hard, but I keep going back. I want more.
Yeah. And Hades, dude, you should play Hades.
I have played Hades a little bit, but my wife is more obsessed with that game than I am. I need to give it more of a chance. I did play it when the Iceberg took over Paradigm Gaming just this past beginning of the year. And it's tight. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
The voice acting is just good. And
it is.
The art style is amazing. And
it is.
I love the company who does it because they also did Bastion and Transistor.
Oh, I remember Transistor.
Transistor, nice. Yeah. That's a good game, too. Short
okay.
game, but very good. Yeah. So, I have anything else on your end?
Well, the only other thing I could think of was, I'm still, I still love survival horror, but you know, games like Resident Evil and Silent Hill, and Resident Evil is my favorite game series of that genre, and it's your fault.
Yeah, that's sort of why I turned you on to Tormented Souls as well.
Yeah, it's got everything you want out of a survival horror game, especially it plays on the classic type of survival horror game that is Resident Evil and Silent Hill.
Yes.
So that genre has never left me. That's always been, like, inherent to me. It's always been a part of me, and I love that. But I do need to expand more into the genre because there are still a lot of games that I have yet to play. I need to finish Visage.
Yes. Did you, what chapter did you do?
I haven't finished the first chapter.
Oh, you haven't finished Lucy.
I was pretty far, but I it was late, and I couldn't finish it, and I do need to get back to that.
Yes,
that was a couple
do.
Years ago, too.
You need to just play it.
I also hear I need to look at the Amnesia series.
Amnesia, yeah, yeah. It's a good series. Amnesia 1 is very dated, so it's not as scary as it used to be, but it holds up, I guess.
Okay.
But it's very dated.
They also recently came out with a new Amnesia game, yeah. The Dark Descent.
That's the first one. It's Rebirth. Rebirth is the new Amnesia.
Oh, that's the new one. Okay.
Yeah, it's Amnesia, Dark Descent, then A Machine for Pigs. Then okay. Rebirth.
Okay, and then I also heard the Fatal Frame series was amazing.
Fatal Frame is, yeah, it's camera horror.
Oh, okay, so like you can see ghosts and pictures and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That's how you fight the ghosts, too.
Oh, really?
Look at this photograph.
There's a ghost in here and he makes me laugh.
Now he's fading away.
But I'm still madly in love with the Resident Evil series. I love the remakes of 2 and 3. You got to play 4 in VR, which is really cool. The most recent survival horror game that I absolutely loved was The Medium. That game was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's one I started playing off stream and doing, but I never got around to getting all the way through it.
It's so good. I was so blown away by that. Ah, it's so good. But yeah, that's kind of what it is for me, you know? I'm still into the Metroidvania and the survival horror genres. I mean, what are you into today? What are you into these days? What's your genre that you enjoy?
Before I get onto that, I just want to... I'm still technically kind of playing the RPGs. Last week, I took 3 days and started from the beginning and beat Stick of Truth.
Yeah!
Because I hadn't beaten it before. I got pretty far, but never got to Canada. And then, yeah.
wasn't Canada great?
Yeah, Canada was beautiful. I had seen it, but I hadn't done it yet. It just reminded me of Dragon Warrior, and it was beautiful.
Ah, such a great game. I love Stick of Truth.
And then right after that, the next day, I picked up Fractured But Whole again. I just reinstalled both of them and then went. I'm going through them both.
Hell yeah.
And I'm almost done with it now.
Oh, cool.
In three or four days, I put about 18 hours into it and I'm like right near the end. So I'll probably finish it tomorrow.
Heck yeah. Fractured But Whole is a game I still have yet to finish. I did enjoy it, but it's different. I like Stick of Truth better.
Yeah, I'm actually on the same boat. I do like it better, given there are some quality of life changes that I love so much in the new one, and it mainly around the costuming and
way
you can modify your character is just so much cleaner, much nicer to work with.
Yeah.
And there's a simple crafting system in it that gives you the ability to make items you need for health and all that fun stuff. So
yeah, and South Park is still one of my favorite shows, and I'm glad they made these games. I'm glad they exist. Yeah. And I hope they make more.
Yeah, one more would be cool. I would be okay with it. But you know what would be awesome? If they did an open world RPG with it.
Yeah?
That would be kind of hilarious. Like, I don't know how they would accomplish it, but just an open world RPG, like collecting items, which is still in there, but it's not a turn-based system. It's an actual combat system.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Like, not a turn-based system.
Well, the first thing that popped in my head when you described that was South Park for the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
By Iguana Entertainment, and it was in first-person view.
Yeah. I love that game. That game was great.
That game was fun.
But anyways, so onto the note of my genre that I'm currently playing a lot of right now and seem to have grown a distinct love for, and I don't know why, is open world survival craft.
open world survival craft.
Or crafting survival, whatever you want to call it. So games like, one that people haven't heard of, The Infected, or games like Ark, but I never really got fully into Ark. I don't know why, I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of Ark, which is the dinosaur one.
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, because Kel used to play it all the time.
She did. Actually, the most experience I have with that game was watching her stream it.
Yeah, she played it a lot, but 7 Days to Die, R's been playing that on the Swamp Dwellers channel. Conan Exiles, I think that's what triggered my, oh no, I guess it wasn't. But Conan Exiles, the one where you're in the Conan world of Hyboria.
Yeah.
And doing all that stuff. Crafting game, you craft your armor, you craft your buildings, you put them together. And if you're wondering, no, I don't like Minecraft. I get it's the same idea, but there's something about the water and food and having prefabricated sections rather than having to build block by block that I like more, rather. I like the prefabricated things where you just build whole walls and you build it the way you want to.
No, that makes sense. I mean, you kind of got to, it's got to, the game's got to grab you. The visuals, the gameplay, the style. Minecraft has always been cool to me, but it's never grabbed me.
Yeah, it just doesn't do it for me in that thought. But The Forest, recently, like...
Oh, yeah. You and I played The Forest for a bit.
The Forest is cool. We could go back to that at some point if you ever wanted to.
Okay.
But Valheim is another one. I should really play more Valheim because that game is amazing. And that's an open world survival craft.
It's got a very cool art style to it, too.
Yeah, yeah. Very low poly, but for at the same time, very beautiful.
A friend of mine gifted me Valheim, and I checked it out. And the water graphics were actually pretty cool.
Grounded. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You, me, Gertrude, and Rain need to play again at some point because they've done quite a few updates since we last played.
Okay, I'm actually interested in that because being able to build houses out of giant pieces of grass was actually really cool.
Yeah, they got bees and a giant super spider, boss spider now. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, stuff like that. And then one of my favorites right now is Breath Edge, which is basically Subnautica in space with a very insanely funny sense of humor to it.
Really?
It's fucking hilarious. It's like slapstick comedy in Subnautica for space.
Okay.
You quite literally have an immortal chicken that you use for everything. Like, to put out electricity, you'll stick the chicken in an electrical, wire that's shorting out, and it will blow up the chicken and then stop the electricity from going through it. One part, you have to get an item that cracks open coffins that are floating through space, and you have to crack open your grandpa's safe.
I'm going to need to see some video of this. This sounds crazy.
The game is... It's funny, but it's open world survival. You're just floating through an asteroid field where your ship crashed and just trying to survive and collect materials and build a base. And it's pretty cool.
All right.
But I don't know. It's just the genre itself, rather than just naming games, is like, I just like the feel of starting from nothing, building a base of operations, making things that can build things for you to survive better. And then hunting things to help you make other things. And I don't know, it just, I like that crafting aspect.
Well, these type of games are more interactive, and it's more, they puts you in the moment where, what would you do in a scenario like this? You feel like you're in the game. I have these items. What can I make out of it? And then the next thing you know, it starts to go spiral. It starts to go off the rails, and you go even deeper. And when I played some of these games with you, at first it was a little daunting. I'm like, I don't know what to do, but then as soon as you start simple, build walls, build huts, build houses, at least get food, build a campfire, survive, and I'm like, all right. I mean, what was another game that was like that? Stranded Deep.
Yeah, that's another one.
I was actually quite impressed with Stranded Deep, and to be able to go from island to island to get items and try to survive and make it, I'm not really into these games, but when I started to play some of them like that one, and Grounded, when I played it with you and Gertrude and Rain, I don't know, the variety, there's so much of a variety for this type of genre that I'm interested in it still. I still find it fun.
Yeah.
That's exciting, though. That's exciting. I like that. I like that a lot.
But my most anticipated one right now is, like, for VR, because VR doesn't have a lot of open-world crafting games right now. Like
Which is surprising, because a lot of these games are first-person.
I mean, they do, but nothing like... nothing like The Forester, nothing like that. Like, Song in the Smoke is, like, one of the only ones.
Okay.
The other ones are, like, Township Tale, which isn't, like, super open world crafting. You're just building stuff, and, I mean, it's really good game. It's cool, but it's not that style of crafting game I'm looking for.
Okay.
I mean, you can play them on, like, your PC, but, like, standalone on the Quest, there's nothing. Aside from Song in the Smoke, which just came out. And Green Hell. Green Hell is a game that's on 2D screen, like this flat screen, for like PC, and I might be on PS4, PS5? I'm not sure. But it's a open-world survival game, obviously. But you're in the forest of, like, the Amazon, I think. And you're trying to survive in the Amazon and talk to this tribe that's out there, and you're crafting, fighting, like, jaguars and shit like that. And the tribesmen that come out to hunt you. Yeah, but that's coming out on VR on the Quest standalone next year.
Nice.
So, I'm kind of excited for that. That's kind of what's become of my life.
Video game genres, man. There's so many out there. There's so many genres. There's so many things to captivate and, you know, grab your imagination. And some of them were great when I was a kid, and then as soon as I got older, I was grabbed by other things, and you know, when you get older, your tastes change, and it's a natural part of life, but every now and again, it's nice to go back to the things that I used to enjoy, like, for example, in Super Mario 64, and collect a few stars, going, yeah, this was fun, you know?
Yes. You know what I was just thinking, as I have it installed, and it's actually under it? Open World Survival Craft, Dying Light.
Oh!
Dying Light is technically open world survival craft because you're crafting your weapons, you're crafting a bunch of stuff, and it's all open world.
You're right. You're right. I actually played a little bit of Dying Light back in the day on PS4, and to me, I thought it was like Resident Evil, but different.
Which it was technically was Resident Evil because Chris did the main character's voice.
I believe the voice actor was Roger Craig Smith. He plays the main character, and it sounds like Chris Redfield when you're playing it, and, yep. And it kind of feels like hey, Resident Evil first person, let's go.
Yep. It's a great game. Like, I love Dying Light. I want the second one to come out because it looks like it's going to be awesome.
Heck yeah. Yeah, Dying Light is actually pretty fun. I love how some of these genres, like, co-mingle and you know, like, you got survival horror and you've got the roguelite. So it all, I don't know, it's just a great blend of different types of things.
Which, now you mentioned, I'm going to go look up the tag for roguelike and see what top games are on there. Just because.
Sure.
Well, Hades, obviously. We got Gloomhaven, which looks like a strategy-based one. Risk of Rain 2, Slay the Spire is a card game. Darkest Dungeon is technically a roguelike in a way, but okay. Not completely. But yeah, there's quite a few good indie-style games up there that you'd probably enjoy. But speaking of Darkest Dungeon, Darkest Dungeon 2 comes out tomorrow on Early Access on the Epic Games Store. And I really, 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 really want to play it.
Well, then you should totally play it.
I am debating if I can right now.
Fair enough. Derp, what do we got coming up?
Extra Life.
Yes, sir. It is not this Saturday, but next Saturday, November 6th is game day.
Good God. Already.
Yeah.
Who's our first one?
Arcanian 17.
That is right. The wonderful and lovely Gertrude, the one that you call wife.
That is correct. And she will be playing Hades.
Isn't she doing the cross stitch as well?
Yes, she's doing a partial gaming on playing Hades, and then she's also doing in arts and crafts. She's going to be cross stitching something from Hades.
Epic.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great time. And for everybody who's listening, if you want more information on schedules, announcements, and everything, go to paradigmgaming.net/extra-life. Our Extra Life page has all sorts of fun and goodies, and I would encourage you all to check out and see what we got planned for the month of November.
What he said.
Absolutely.
But it has been wonderful. It has been great. This has been the Paradigm Cogcast. And you know when you can catch us?
At the drop of a paradigm.